It's a really striking statistic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Even now, with all the focus on gender equality, women globally, well, they're still earning only about 80% of what men earn on average.
It is a persistent gap.
And that fundamental difference, that pay gap, that's what we're really diving into today.
That's right. We're not just, looking at the headline number. We want to explore the factors behind it, why it's still here, and really importantly, look at this growing global movement towards pay transparency and all these new reporting requirements popping up.
Exactly. We've pulled together information looking at, well, why does this gap still exist? And how are different countries trying to tackle it, with laws and regulations?
Yeah, different approaches everywhere.
So our goal for you today, the listener, is to give you a clear, insightful handle on this. It's complex, right?
Definitely.
The causes, the momentum behind transparency. Think of this as your shortcut to, well, really getting up to speed on a pretty big and fast-moving part of the workplace today.
Okay, so let's start there. Why does this roughly 20% global pay gap hang around? It's a stubborn problem.
It really is. Now, we should acknowledge some of this difference is down to things like, say, different educational paths or specific skills, experience levels.
Right, time work too. Part-time versus full-time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And even the types of jobs men and women tend to do, that occupational segregation idea.
Can you give an example of that?
Sure. Like you might see, historically anyway, more women in fields maybe like primary education or healthcare administration,
Okay.
which, again, historically often had lower average pay scales compared to, say, engineering or finance, where you traditionally saw more men.
That makes sense, that segregation factor. But, and this is crucial, research from groups like UN Women, it really highlights that a big chunk of this gap just isn't explained by those things.
Right.
It seems to be rooted in, well, gender discrimination, a kind of systemic undervaluing of the work women do. And, the World Economic Forum is quite clear on this. They say achieving equal pay isn't just about fairness, though it is that.
It's economic too.
Absolutely. They see it as fundamental for economic growth that's both equitable and sustainable for everyone. Imagine the boost if everyone's paid fairly for what they contribute.
And we also need to think about recent events, don't we? Like the pandemic.
Oh, definitely.
That unfortunately caused a bit of a step back in some ways. We saw a larger proportion of women leaving the workforce, often for increased caring duties.
Yeah, homeschooling, elder care, it fell disproportionately.
And that could have real long-term effects, right, on their career path, their earning potential, maybe finding it harder to get back in, or just career stagnation.
It really highlights that the pay gap isn't simple, no single cause. But one major tool being used now is legislation, laws and rules requiring businesses to report on their pay data.
And this isn't brand new, is it?
Yes.
No, not at all. I mean, the International Labor Organization, the ILO, they made their first international stab at this way back in 1951, the Equal Remuneration Convention.
Wow, 1951.
Yeah. And then you saw some really foundational national laws following that.
Like in the US.
Exactly. The US Equal Pay Act in 63, the UK had its Equal Pay Act in 1970, and the EU's first Equal Pay Directive was around 1975.
So the principles have been around a while.
They have, but the real challenge then and now is getting these principles put into practice effectively by, private companies following government rules.
And the tactics, the methods for tracking this, they've changed too, haven't they?
They really have. It used to be more about just monitoring average salaries for men and women across a company, simple averages.
Okay.
But now the push is really towards pay transparency, actually requiring companies to disclose salary ranges.
Both internally and externally.
Yeah, to current staff and also to job applicants. That's a big shift.
Which brings us neatly to something pretty significant happening right now. The EU Pay Transparency Directive.
Yes. Passed in 2023. Very ambitious goal. Basically, close the gender pay gap across all 27 EU countries.
And there's a deadline.
There is June 2026 for implementation.
Okay, let's unpack that EU directive a little. What are the main things businesses in the EU need to get ready for?
Well, first up, companies with over 250 employees, they'll need to report annually on their salary data, broken down by gender.
Annual reporting.
And if a company finds a gender pay gap over 5%
Uh-huh.
that they can't justify with objective gender-neutral factors, they actually have to act on it, take concrete steps.
Okay, so there's a requirement to take action.
Yes. And maybe the biggest thing for individuals, Workers who experience pay discrimination based on gender will have the right to compensation.
Compensate, like back pay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Back pay, related bonuses they missed out on, it sort of shifts the burden of proof and gives employees more power.
Wow. That really does sound like it could drive some major changes. And I guess this means a lot more work for certain departments.
Oh, absolutely. Think about payroll and HR departments. They're going to be right in the thick of it, gearing up for these new reporting demands.
The bigger reporting burden.
Definitely. As this rolls out across the EU over the next couple of years, yeah, expect a noticeable increase in what payroll teams need to do regularly. But, you know, it's important to remember this push for transparency isn't just an EU thing.
Right. You said it's global.
It is. We're seeing it emerge all over the world, though, in different ways.
Okay, so let's look at some of those examples. It sounds like quite a mixed bag of approaches globally.
It really is. Take Australia, for instance.
What are they doing?
Their private sector employers with over 100 employees have to file an annual gender equality report.
Okay.
And it goes to the Workplace Gender Equality Agency. It includes really detailed info on remuneration, giving quite a full picture.
Interesting. What about somewhere like Austria?
Austria, okay. Yeah. They require companies over 150 employees to produce a report every 2 years, biennially.
And what's in that?
Average and median wages for women and men. And interestingly, that info has to be shared directly with the employees.
Directly with SAG.
Yeah. And just a note for listeners, that report is typically in German.
Good to know. Brazil.
Brazil's a bit different again. Employers over 100 employees send their employee data to the Ministry of Labor.
And the government does the analysis.
Exactly. The ministry then creates pay transparency reports twice a year. And again, worth noting, these are in Portuguese.
Okay, Canada.
Canada has the Pay Equity Act. It covers all federally regulated employers, and they have to create an annual pay equity statement.
Seems quite direct. France.
France has its annual gender equality index. Companies over 50 employees have to calculate and publish this index score.
An index score. That's different.
Yeah. And for bigger companies, over 1,000 employees, there's extra reporting on gender gaps in senior leadership roles. And as you'd guess, this is done in French.
Makes sense. Germany.
Germany requires employers with over 500 employees to do these quite thorough wage audits.
Audits.
And those audits form the basis for annual reports on equal pay, again, usually in German.
Ireland.
Ireland's pretty straightforward. Employers over 50 employees must compile annual gender pay gap reports.
And publish them.
Yes, publish on their own websites and also submit them to the government.
Japan. I heard their focus is slightly different.
It is, yeah. For employers over 300 employees, the requirement is to develop and publicly share action plans.
Action plans for what?
For promoting women's participation and advancement in their organizations. So less direct pay reporting, more about future action.
Okay. And the UK, they were early on this, weren't they?
They were, relatively. Employers over 250 employees have had to annually report their gender pay gap data for a while now. And that data is public.
Right. And finally, the U.S., you mentioned it's complex there.
Very, because labor law is largely state by state. So right now, something like 22 states have their own pay transparency laws.
And they vary.
Oh, yeah, quite significantly in what they actually require. So for businesses operating across the U.S. or globally, it's a real patchwork quilt of regulations to navigate.
That overview really drives home the complexity, doesn't it? Especially for multinational companies. Keeping track of all these different rules?
It's a huge undertaking.
Which really brings us back to the role of payroll, right? It's becoming much more than just making sure salaries are correct.
Absolutely. Payroll is now, well, it's a central pillar for compliance. Tax laws, labor laws, and now, increasingly, these gender pay reporting rules.
And for global companies, you mentioned tools.
Yes. Things like having a centralized global payroll dashboard can be incredibly valuable. Some of our sources mention specific software like Activate, but the principle is key.
How do they help?
They're designed to streamline managing all these different reporting requirements across different countries. It simplifies what could be a massive headache.
It's also interesting to see the cultural shift around just talking about pay.
Isn't it? Historically, it was so taboo. Companies often discouraged it, sometimes even had policies against it.
That's changing.
Definitely. In many countries now, the right for employees to discuss their pay is legally protected.
Which suggests a growing confidence from employers, too.
I think so. The thinking is, if your pay practices are fair and transparent, why would you discourage discussion? It can actually build trust.
And we're also seeing bans on asking about salary history, right?
Yes, that's a growing trend in many places.
What's the logic there?
The idea is to break that cycle where perhaps women who started on a lower salary early on just keep getting offered lower pay based on that history.
Ah, so it stops that snowball effect.
Exactly. Focus on the value of the role now, the candidate's skills, not what they happened to earn before, trying to level the playing field from the start.
And connecting back to the EU directive.
Right, important point. It also requires employers to tell job applicants the starting salary or the salary range for the job.
Up front.
Yeah. Either in the ad itself or at least before the interview. Proactive transparency.
So looking at all this, it seems like this global move towards pay transparency, it's not just about compliance, is it? There could be real business benefits too.
I think that's absolutely right. When companies are transparent and fair with pay salary ranges, promotions, bonuses, all of it.
Right, happens.
You tend to see better employee morale, definitely. Maybe increased productivity. And crucially, better employee retention. People feel valued, they perceive fairness, they're more likely to stay.
Okay, so for businesses trying to navigate all this, what are some practical, actionable steps they could take?
Well, for payroll leaders especially, getting hold of or investing in platforms that unify their global pay data seems like a really smart move.
Even if they don't have reporting deadlines yet.
Yes, absolutely. Be proactive. Conduct regular pay audits of your own workforce anyway. Get ahead of the curve. Identify potential gaps early.
And when doing those audits, what should they look at specifically?
It's crucial to compare both the average, the mean, and the midpoint, the median salaries. And bonuses, too.
For men and women.
Yes, for men and women. But bring it down further. Look within pay bands, within specific job functions, different titles, even across different countries or regions if you operate globally.
That detailed analysis is where the insights are.
That's where you can really see where potential disparities might be hiding.
So it really sounds like payroll leaders, especially those with these global dashboard tools, are becoming, well, pretty critical.
Absolutely.
Not just for ticking compliance boxes, but actually guiding their organizations towards genuinely more equitable, more transparent pay policies.
They really are. They're positioned to be key drivers of change, guiding the strategy. They have the data.
Precisely. They have the tools and the data to really drive meaningful progress here.
Yeah.
So wrapping up this deep dive, it feels pretty clear the global push for gender pay equality is, well, it's really picking up steam.
Definitely intensifying.
Driven by stronger laws all over the place, and this real focus on transparency. It's causing some fundamental shifts, isn't it? How businesses run, how we even talk about pay.
Absolutely. And it makes you wonder, doesn't it? What's the broader impact going to be? This increased transparency, how will it really change workplace culture, individual career negotiations?
Yeah, both in places with strict rules and where things are just starting.
Exactly. So a final thought for you, our listener. What questions does all this raise for you about the future of work, about what fairness and compensation really looks like? It's certainly something to keep watching and thinking about.